Welcome back to the Information Security Forum podcast. We're in conversation today with Steve Durbin to discuss marketing teams, how to adopt new tactics to increase business. Steve, our discussions have tended to focus on looking at security through the business lens. However, in addition to your business experience and knowledge, most people don't know that your background is actually in marketing. I was having a discussion with your head of marketing, and she mentioned that now that the rules for marketing to potential and existing customers have changed, her team is feeling pressure to find new ways to increase pipeline and create new business opportunities for the sales team. She felt that this was a business-wide discussion, and I know that on behalf of all marketing teams, she welcomes your insight on this topic, so let's get started. How big an impact is the new data protection law having on the go-to-market strategy for businesses and their sales and marketing teams? And how easy will it be to maintain business continuity for both new business opportunities, building pipeline, and the retention of existing customers in this environment?
It is changing marketing, in my opinion, Tavia, probably beyond some of the things we've seen in the more recent past. So it is very significant. And there are two pieces of legislation that probably concern me from a marketing standpoint. The first is the GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation. And the second then is the e-privacy regulation, which is currently a directive. So GDPR, I think, as everybody probably knows by now, is effective from the 25th of May in 2018. E-privacy was also supposed to be brought in at the same time, but that has been delayed. We probably won't see that until something like 2019, first half, possibly slip even into the second half of 2019. And these two pieces of legislation together really, I think, will change and are changing the way in which marketing teams are operating. So why do I say that? Well, if you look at GDPR, first of all, GDPR requires you to protect personal information. So that has changed the way in which organizations have gone about gathering information. We've had the process of having to get people to opt in or opt out of receiving marketing communications. Just think that one through. You know, most organizations have worked off the basis that if you want to download, for instance, a white paper, then you've provided your contact details. Everybody knows when they're doing that, that will mean that there will be some follow-ups. That has always resulted in Mickey Mouse being a particularly fervent downloader, and that other character, of course, John Doe, who downloads prolifically here in the United States. That's of no use to marketing at all. But in order to receive the white paper, you have to have provided these sorts of information. And you also have to store it, and you also have to protect it, and so on. So GDPR has really sharpened the pencil on that. E-privacy regulation goes one stage beyond that. And so the e-privacy regulation is known as a lex specialis, so it sits on top of GDPR. So it's supposed to work in conjunction with GDPR, but it will trump it if anything is contained in the e-privacy regulation is stronger than GDPR. And it looks at three particular areas. The first is unsolicited marketing. The second is cookies. And the third is confidentiality. So unsolicited marketing, you know, this really looks at the requirement for consent for email and text messaging. So again, your local pizza company will probably send you text messages on a regular basis saying, you know, Tavia, if you order a super duper extra pepperoni, whatever it might be, today it'll be 50% off and we'll give you an extra carton of Coke with it or whatever as well. Unless you have given consent for that, they won't be able to do it. Cookies, well, they will now be tracked within software in the user browser. So you as the user will be able to manage that. And so that really will mean that some of those pop-ups will disappear and because you control things from your browser. The confidentiality component will affect people like WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, because they will need to provide the same level of confidentiality around data as other organizations have been doing from a brick and mortar standpoint. So you add GDPR with e-privacy and you say, well, from a marketing standpoint now, the world has changed. We used to buy in lists. if you buy in a list, how do you know? How can you guarantee that people have opted in to receive communication from you? If you go to a conference and you point one of these zappers at somebody's badge, how can you guarantee that somebody does actually want to receive information from you? And indeed, more importantly, how do you demonstrate that? So if somebody complains about the fact you're sending them information, how do you demonstrate that they did opt in? So we're building up, I think, a whole level of necessary controls from a marketing standpoint that requires us to view access to data, personal data, in a very different way. And from a marketing standpoint, we have come from an environment that says the more I know about you, the better, because I can then tailor things specifically to you. Well, that's now being turned on its head. From a marketing standpoint, yes, I want to know everything about you, but you have to agree to provide me with that information. And you can withdraw that at any time. And so I have to be tracking all of that. And I have to be making sure that things like my sales team are aware of that.
And if that is withdrawn at any time, then do you also have to demonstrate that that information has been discarded?
Yes, under the right to be forgotten, you can request as a user clarification and confirmation that you've been removed from systems. You can request information about where your information has been held, and again, you know, organizations have to provide you with that. So there are some very significant changes, I think, that marketing departments are having to go through. What does that mean in terms of new business opportunities, building pipeline, you know, retention and so on? Well, it means you have to do things differently. You know, on the positive side, it should enable us to have a higher quality of information because you have opted in to providing me with information. So I'm not going to be seeing, hopefully, as many Mickey Mouses and John Does. So I am going to get much more clarity around you as a user, but there's going to be very much fewer data points to work off. So again, you know, at the ISF, we've recently implemented some of these changes. We've probably seen something like a 50 to 75% drop off in terms of usable data that we get through our public website. So if you think about that from an organizational standpoint, from a building pipeline, from a building understanding of people who are visiting your site perspective, you have to really come up with some brighter ideas as to how you can go about managing all of that. So I think, you know, on the face of it, there are some significant changes. A lot of marketing people have been sort of throwing their hands up in horror and saying, well, this is going to change the way that we work. Yes, it is. But actually, there are probably other ways that we need to adapt in order to stay within the legislative guidelines that perhaps will open up other opportunities for us.
Well, it sounds also like it's improving the quality of the relationship between the marketing department and the person who has opted in, that there's a deeper, more authentic possibility of a connection, that you may have dropped off the amount of data, but the person who is sharing their data is more invested. Is that a fair speculation?
That's certainly what I would hope. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. As marketing relies heavily on digital engagement, what role does the C-suite in particular have in supporting digital brand awareness and creating business opportunities using social media? And how can the marketing team advise on the use of social media to build brand awareness and to safeguard and not disrupt business?
Yeah, I think this whole issue of digital brand awareness is a very interesting one, because that's where we're all necessarily having to go. It is about how do we build up this picture. And for a lot of organizations, I think, you know, it was about measuring things like, if you go back, you know, not that long, we used to measure things like, you know, clicks. And some people used to charge on a per-click basis. We used to measure visits to the website. We used to measure things like downloads. Well, all of that becomes a little bit meaningless. Digital brand awareness, yes, is about driving traffic, but it's about increasingly these days driving engagement. I don't have a huge amount of interest in how many people are visiting my website. What I'm interested in is how many of those people are then converted into engaged contributors. So I'm thinking particularly of things like, you know, the way in which they might contribute to blogs, the way in which they might interact What would they do with some of the information that's on the site? And so, you know, the role of the traditional website, I think, is changing. It has to be very much more interactive.
Hmm.
You know, we are moving, I think every marketing organization is moving very much more into the use of video. It's about really being able to, I think, put things up quickly that reflect things that are happening that people want to look at. That's what draws audience in and giving them the opportunity then to share that. So digital brand awareness then becomes, what do you want your organizational brand to look like mm-hmm. in that kind of scenario? And if you think about it from a consumer standpoint, then that's hugely competitive.
Yeah.
You know, if you're selling fizzy pop or sweets or whatever it happens to be, massively competitive market. So you always need to be doing something very, very different here, because increasingly all of your interaction is going to be done on a digital platform in some way, shape or form at a variety of different age groups. So it's a hugely exciting area. If you look at business to business, then actually it's not dissimilar. But you're much more important. You're looking at how you can create long-term business opportunities for engagement. And I think that where I see the opportunity here is I'm going to call it crowdsourcing, but it isn't strictly speaking crowdsourcing. What I mean by it is I might put up some particular challenge that my business is having, or I might put up a particular perspective, a stalking horse, effectively. And I may do that with the intention of stimulating debate, by getting my target audience to actually respond to that and then shape and change my offering. So that I think, is something that's very much more possible as well in a digitally connected environment. And, of course, you can feed that out straight away into your sales, into your product development. And so you're getting, I think, more intimate touch points with your target market through that digital platform. And social media clearly has a role to play in all of that, but not just from the perspective of a fairly sort of passive, you know, this is where I went for dinner, although that can be useful as well to a certain extent, but much more about then harnessing the social media channel as another means of market testing. So I think from that overall marketing perspective, we're moving very, very rapidly into a realm of digital engagement that gives you very speedy feedback. Whether you be in the B2C or the B2B environment, the challenge that you then have is how do you respond to that? So you have to be very much more agile. You have to be willing to take a risk. You have to be much more entrepreneurial than I think a lot of marketing departments might have been in a B2B environment anyway in the past. And then it's about when do you bring out the big guns? So how do you actually manage digital interaction with your senior executives, your C-suite? How do you manage an individual, perhaps, who first thing in the morning, the very first thing they do is send out a number of tweets that are, you know, anything from a stream of consciousness to a rant? And how do you manage that from a brand perspective? You know, some organizations might say, well, actually, that's doing the brand a power of good, because the person is human, he or she is reflecting the mood of the moment, and that's what we as an organization want to be seen as. So, you know, if you're in that particular space, others would, you know, put their head in their hands and think, oh no, here we go again. It's more damage limitation, because it is off message. And so the role of the marketing team in all of that is really to try to understand the way in which the organizational business strategy can be reflected through the digital marketing channel and the role that social media has to play in that. Playing that back to business leaders, whether they be in the C-suite or whether they be outside of it, to ensure that we've got some consistency of messaging across the piece that allows for personal expression. We don't want to do away with social media. We do want to do away with fire drills. We want to increase the level of interaction that our senior leaders have in the market, because come the day that there is a breach or something goes wrong, we want them to be viewed as being trusted. So if we think that through in terms of this, you know, wake up in the morning and have a rant, what is that doing for the ability of your target market to trust you. So trust is the key word that marketing departments, I believe anyway, really need to be focused on in this particular area. Because what you want to be doing is encouraging people to trust your brand, trust the way in which you interact with them so that it's transparent, so that it's honest, so that you then can build engagement for the right reasons that will then result in potentially increased business opportunity. So those are all the different things that are changing. And again, you know, I do think, to your point earlier, the fact that we're moving into an environment where people have to positively opt in is going to help in all of those different areas, because you do have people who are, at least at the beginning, superficially engaged. Your job is to increase that level of engagement and then for them to tell other people as well. You have to do that from a position of trust. You can't abuse it. You have to provide value, and you have to use some of these digital channels to do it very effectively.
So no, you know, serious leader would just rant on Twitter first thing in the morning. That's just an implausible hypothetical, it seems.
I think that, you know, if you look at it from a private sector perspective, I would like to think that most boards, most shareholders would probably have something to say about that. It isn't about trying to take away somebody's freedom of expression or personality. It's about saying, look, you do have a very powerful tool in your hands. It might be an idea to just think before you press the go button. And there is, of course, always going to be, you know, an occasion when you do want to have a rant. And maybe you just do that offline. You know, I go back to years ago when email first sort of started being used outside of organizations. And the advice that was always given there was okay, look, if you really are looking to have a rant, then do. Type it in the email, but just don't press the send button. Put it in the draft folder, come back and read it a little bit later. And I think that a lot of people would do well, particularly on social media, to think that one through. Doesn't necessarily need to take away from the instantaneous element of it. You can just type it, you know, take 30 seconds downtime and then come back and think, is that really what I want to say? Maybe not. And go from there. So I think that, you know, it is all about understanding the power that you have at social media and making sure that what you're sending out is in line with your overall strategy and what it is you're trying to achieve and the brand that you're trying to create.
So just showing some thoughtfulness and a bit of restraint.
I think it comes down to you know, responsibility. Mm-hmm. You need to be responsible for your actions. And yeah.
Can you share three or four tactics that the marketing team should adopt to grow pipeline opportunities and enhance the effectiveness of their outbound communications and their engagement across their social media business channels?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. I think that, you know, I've talked already about the role of the website. I think websites will continue to have a fundamental role to play in terms of collecting data. It is about collecting on an opt-in basis. It is about making them attractive places for people to go and visit. It is about ensuring that you do something with people who respond in that area. But you also have to recognize that you're going to get very much less coming through your website. So don't lose the website, but just do recognize that the task of it is to increase the engagement. I think the second thing is you need to look at ways in which you're going to collect your own data on your target markets. I don't think you can rely on lists anymore. You know, there's been a very big industry in the past that's existed on selling lists. Mm-hmm. Very few organizations, very few individuals, I believe, will now opt in to a list, allowing an organization to go off and sell that list, you know, willy-nilly. And that's a real challenge as well. So I think you've got to look at ways of collecting your own data. That may be through using different digital channels. I think social media, it's about using social media to understand the issues that your target market has. It's about really increasing the volume as well, I think, on your part of quality discussion. And that isn't just about one individual. And I'm not advocating here either that you have a number of bots that are out there, you know, spouting stuff either. It's about making sure that you have a number of people within your organization who are contributing to that interaction, that it's a quality interaction, that it's a relevant interaction, that it is demonstrating that your brand or your company has something valuable to say in this particular space that would then encourage people to move perhaps to your website or to move to sharing some of their data with them. And I think that marketing has a very big role to play in that particular space in terms of helping people understand, you know, how to go about doing that on social media. A lot of time people, you know, when I talk about this, will look at me and say, well, everyone can use social media. Steve, what are you on about? You know, I don't need to be trained in how to use social media. I just pick up my phone and off I go.
Rant away.
And of course you can do that. But there are probably better ways of doing it. And I think that just really providing some hints and tips to people as to how you can go about doing that is time well spent. And then I think that finally, it is about really measuring the effectiveness of your communications and your engagement. Marketeers generally don't like to do that because it's always very difficult. And it is. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had this age-old discussion in marketing about how do you measure the effectiveness of PR?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do it? Well, you can measure appearances or clicks and that kind of thing. But how do you really measure the effectiveness of it? You know, is it really driving somebody to buy your product,
mm-hmm.
increase your revenue? So I think it's about thinking very hard about how we measure the effectiveness of some of that communication and some of that engagement across the different social media channels so that you can flex it, so that you can change it, so that you understand what works and what doesn't work. And indeed, I think very much more importantly these days, so that you can really understand and test the temperature of your target audience, because their needs change very, very quickly. And this is one of the ways in which you can really monitor that and make sure that you always remain current.
Well, there are so many conversations about social media, but this is definitely a fresh take on a conversation about these tools. So on behalf of your own head of marketing and other marketing leaders, I thank you for wearing your marketing hat for this discussion. And I'm sorry that our listeners can't see it because it's quite an elaborate fascinator. The guidance you've shared today will have provided some practical insights that both the marketing team and wider business teams can adopt to support business growth. To find out more about how ISF products and services can help you to manage cybersecurity across your business enterprise, visit securityforum.org.